make you think twice, and maybe even three times. Here's the Healthy Skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
There is a new specific part of garlic that's not just good for making an excellent marinara, but new research has discovered that aged garlic extract may actually reverse heart disease. My next guest is Dr. Matthew Budoff. He is professor of medicine at David Geffen School of Medicine and director of the cardiac CT lab at Harbor UCLA Medical Center. Dr. Budoff, welcome to the show, and let's get right into your recent study. Tell me about what you've done with this aged garlic extract.
So, based on a lot of early research that showed that it may have some benefit for high cholesterol and high blood pressure, we looked at the effect of aged garlic extract on the coronary arteries to see if it could actually reverse or slow down the buildup of plaque in the arteries to help us reverse the process of heart disease.
So tell me how many people you had enrolled in this study, both in the arm that did not get the garlic and the other arm?
Yeah, so it was, we had about a 50-50 distribution. About half the patients got placebo and half the patients got aged garlic extract. We studied about 65 people, so it was about 32 or so in each arm. And the nice thing about aged garlic extract is it doesn't come with an odor, so we weren't unblinded. We didn't know who was on what therapy, based on their breath or their pores or something like that. So that was helpful. But I think what we found was that those patients who got aged garlic extract actually had less plaque in their coronaries a year later when we did our testing.
So how did you measure plaque? Is it a subjective measurement? Is it a objective measurement? Tell me a little bit about how you actually calculate plaque sizes.
Yeah, so what we do is we measure it on using a CT scanner, a CAT scanner. We take measurements of the coronary arteries, and we can measure the entire tree of the coronary, so all of the branches, and we add up all the plaque that they have, and then we repeat the test a year later and make all those measurements again and look to see if there was progression, more plaque, or regression, less plaque, at the end of a year.
Tell the listeners a little bit about the differences between soft plaque and calcified plaque. Which one is actually more ominous or dangerous to the individual?
Yeah, so, you know, when the plaque first starts building up, it's soft, it's filled with fats, lipids and fats, and those fats can break free and rupture and cause blockages in the arteries to occur, causing heart attacks or strokes. So we think that the soft plaque is more dangerous. If the plaque ruptures or breaks and then gets healed, that's where the calcification comes in. So if we do these calcium scores, if you have a positive calcium score, that means that you have atherosclerosis and have heart disease, so we know it's a good target for somebody to be on medicine, but it doesn't give us a good quantity of exactly how much plaque are in the arteries. And the soft plaque is a better marker of how much plaque is present and how much active plaque you have.
So I'm the healthy skeptic, so I have to ask all the skeptical questions I have, and it's nothing personal, obviously. So you do two scans a year apart, and obviously every time you scan someone, they're going to be in a different position. The computer is going to reconstruct the images a little differently, so there's going to be some slippage of measurements. How dramatic were the changes that you saw between the groups?
Yeah, so, we definitely worry about what we call the reproducibility, the how variable these changes are. We did see, though, a difference, a statistical difference and a clinical difference between those patients who were randomized to placebo, where they had more plaque at the end of a year, compared to the garlic group, the aged garlic extract group, which had less plaque at the end of a year. So we're confident that we did see significant differences between time A and time B in our group, between our two groups, and that they were significant, more than just an error of the test.
Next skeptical question. In my career, we've seen many drugs over the years that have been shown to reduce plaque, such as niacin and other agents over the years, but it never really translates into outcome data where it doesn't translate into decreased deaths, decreased heart attacks, decreased strokes. So it's great that it decreases plaque, but it's really a surrogate marker. It's not really an end hard point. Can you comment on that?
No, absolutely, and it's a great point. And certainly we need to follow these larger studies over time to prove that they have less heart attacks. But we have had very large studies. I've published in over 6,000 people followed over time, and another study in 5,000 people followed over time. And both of those studies showed that those patients who are progressing, who are building up more plaque, had more cardiovascular deaths and had more heart attacks. So we are confident that progression is bad, and lack of progression or regression is better, but we don't have that exact data with the garlic cohorts yet because we're still following them over time.
So how long are you going to be following these patients? Do you know that yet?
Well, so yes. Yeah, so now that they're no longer randomized to the drug, but we're going to just observe them over the next 5 years just to see what happens to them over time, and to see if that initial randomization made a difference. But we're also trying to get a big grant from the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, to really hone in on this question and do a large trial and see if it portends better, less heart attacks and less strokes.
Which leads me to my next question, which thank you for bringing it up. So you're looking for some money from the NIH, which would be great. Where did the money come from to fund this study?
Yeah, so this study was funded by the makers of Kyolic, the Wakunaga company, but they gave us the money in an unrestricted format, and all of the research was done by me and my lab totally independently. So they had no say in the study design, in the analysis, or in the publication of any of the work. So we did try to separate that, but they did fund the study and provide us with the samples of garlic that we needed to do the trial.
And then my last skeptical question, and then I'll ask some nice questions. You are irradiating these people at least twice, maybe a few times. CT angiograms have a significant amount of radiation to it. So let's say we're preventing them from getting heart disease, but we end up killing them from some occult malignancy from the radiation exposure.
Yeah, I mean, obviously in the long run, we wouldn't need to irradiate everybody if we found a benefit. So it's really a research protocol. But you're right, we don't want to be too cavalier. We did use low-dose protocols for the CT. So we gave them, you know, the slowest we could. But mm-hmm. But certainly, you know, if we did start using this drug in practice, widespread, we wouldn't need the two CT scans. We would just give them the therapy.
So, doctor, are you taking the garlic product yourself?
So, I'm not the most compliant patient, but I do take it. I'm probably not quite every day like I should, but I have been taking one of the formulations. I use the one that has fish oil in it to help me with my cholesterol as well.
And I assume you've scanned your own arteries if you're in the lab every day, just out of curiosity.
Yep. I just turned 50, so I got my 50-year-old scan. My wife insists I get one every 5 years to make sure I'm healthy and doing well. So I got my scan of 50. I have a little bit of plaque, but just a tiny bit, and nothing too concerning as of yet.
Got it. If anyone wants to learn more about this, where can they go read more about it, Doc?
Yeah, so there's two sites. If you want to learn more about garlic, the Kyolic patient, the Kyolic study, they have www.kyolic.com. If they want to learn more about heart scanning, it's www.calciumscan.com.
Great. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD. Remember, never let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends, and stay well.